Hear my words and bear witness to my vow. Night gathers, and now my watch begins.
Beware, spoiler phobes. You have stumbled upon a storm of spoilers, a podcast about HBO's Game of Thrones series in conjunction with the Song of Ice and Fire books by George R.R. Martin. This discussion can expand to include any Game of Thrones relevant books, shows, internet extras, special features, teases, trailers, interviews, rumors, guesses, theories, and general crackpotitude. We're not ruining, we're enriching. After all, chaos isn't a pit, it's a ladder. You do not wish to be spoiled or are not caught up, please stop now.
The realm. Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agree to tell each other over and over till we forget that it's a lie. But what do we have left once we abandon the lie?
Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all.
Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder.
Hello and welcome to A Storm of Spoilers. My name is Dave Gonzalez, and I haven't read any of the books in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series.
My name is Joanna Robinson, and I've read every book in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire, except for the one that is clearly coming out before next season.
And I'm Neil Miller, and I've read all the books in George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire, although I also have not read the one that's coming out before next season. And I haven't read any of them lately, so I feel like I'm losing ground here. I need to reread.
Yeah, well, get those footholds back in there.
We're doing a book one reread, season one rewatch over on Cast of Kings this fall. So you're welcome to read along with us if you
I should. So desire. And I can just slide into the comment section. I'm a big fan of sliding into various comment sections.
like Tom Cruise in his underwear or something.
Yeah.
It's a very similar scene here in my house.
It is the summer off-season Game of Thrones. We will be discussing some rumors and casting because we know that season 6 has started shooting around the world, which means it's going to get harder to keep secrets. And since we are the podcast that is about spoilers and speculation, we are going to bring you some of those secrets in this special podcast of Storm Spoilers. It is not attributed to any of the Game of Thrones specific episodes, so of course we could talk about any of those if we need to. We might be going all the way back to season 3 in this episode, so by all means, don't make this your first episode. If for nothing else, you're just going to miss all the excellent in-jokes we're going to have, and we'd really like you to enjoy them along with us. Anyway, we'll kick it right off.
Where can people find old episodes?
Oh, that would be at fightinginthewarroom.com/gotspoilers.
Excellent.
Although I'm really curious how they found this episode if they didn't know that. We'll figure that out through analytics. Anyway, the best way to kick this off, I feel, is with some of our casting, since we know it's in the direction that's going, especially Ian McShane and Max von Sydow. Have been added to the regular Game of Thrones cast. As who wants to lead me through the casting?
Well, I want to say two things. First of all, it's maddening as hell that they haven't put out one of those videos that they have done like the past couple seasons that are so helpful, being like, I'm Max von Sydow and I'm playing, you know, Three-Eyed Raven or whatever. But you know, I just feel like they're doing this added layer of secrecy this season, whether or not it's to not spoil the book that's going to come out before the season starts, or because last season was so leaky and they're like, fuck you guys, you don't get any more hints than like, you know, your spies can uncover, whatever. I don't know what it is, but it's annoying. Says the entitled Game of Thrones blogger. But okay, so Max von Sydow has joined the cast as Three-Eyed Raven, who will be Bran's mentor this season. They've recast the part from some rando bearded guy to Max von Sydow. So that's an upgrade no matter how you slice it. It's like that scene in Wayne's World where they bring in Charlton Heston, basically.
Well, and it also like signals a, you know, more for him to do, and it's going to be the thing that throws us off in our discussion, because if Bran could be having mystical journeys, then really all of these things we're going to be speculating could just be a weird mystical journey flash. Right?
No, I agree. That's my caveat. Anytime we hear anything, I'm like, or it's just Bran having a kooky vision, because I feel like he's going to have a lot of kooky visions. I will let Neil answer the thing about Ian McShane, because it's more ambiguous, and he likes crackpots, so go ahead.
I do, and I spent like a week toiling over the Ian McShane thing. Like, who's he going to play? And I think I've narrowed it down to two that I like.
Okay.
He's either going to play, and I think the best role for him is Septon Maribald.
Right.
From the books. I think we both like this one.
Yes.
Joanna. The idea here is that he's a gruff old warrior who has seen the light and come over to the faith, and he's now a traveling preacher. He's a really short-lived but significant character, especially with a lot of the rumors that we're seeing now with the returning to the Riverlands and potentially returning to find characters that we thought were dead, which we'll talk about later. But Septon Maribald is really part of that journey through the Riverlands. So I think McShane would be good for that. I also think he'd be good as any Greyjoy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically, if the Greyjoys are coming back and we're going to see any sort of King Smoot, then he would be a lot of fun. But I feel like Euron Greyjoy is younger. Yeah. Am I wrong? Yeah, okay.
No, right. You're right. I think he's too old for Euron Greyjoy. And I think part of the news when it broke on Entertainment Weekly was that his role was small but significant. They said the same thing about Max von Sydow. So I think that Euron Greyjoy is going to be too big of a part for him. He could be a rando other Greyjoy. But I really, really like the Septon Maribald theory, because it just fits really well into small but significant and a really good role for McShane.
I get this feeling a lot of other people said Randall Tarly, but I feel like Randall Tarly could be a character that sticks around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So I feel like his character may not be as significant, but it's gonna be like Uncle Kevin, where he keeps popping up. So
yeah, and they also,
I don't know if that's McShane's thing.
Yeah, also the first, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to look down my nose, because I got swept up in all the theorizing as well. But I think a lot of people at first thought Arthur Dayne, for some reason. He doesn't fit that description at all. But I think they just sort of liked the idea of Ian McShane swinging a sword. But the guy they're casting as Arthur Dayne is going to be like some legit fighter, like the guy that they got to play the Mountain. So
and much younger.
Yeah, oh yeah, much younger. I mean, like, Ian McShane is
an old man.
Is wrong in like 100 different ways. But also, like, it's not wrong to hope for someone like Ian McShane in such a small but significant role like Arthur Dayne will be. So
either way, Ian fucking McShane, guys.
Yes. Ian cocksucker McShane. Okay, sorry.
Who are these characters paired with? Like, that's who I'd more want to root for. I'm just rooting for the actors.
If he's Septon Maribald, then there's a good chance he will end up getting paired with Brienne and Pod.
Nice.
If they head back to Riverland. Possibly Jaime.
Yes.
Or possibly Jaime. Yeah. So that would be interesting, because it all happens in the Riverlands. Possibly some Freys involved.
Right.
You know, whether it's the big man himself or one of his many brood.
Right.
Randall Tarly.
The Frey guy, isn't he around set area?
Yeah. David
Bradley.
Save
that for later, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
David Bradley's coming back, but also they've cast a Frey son, like a significant Frey son. Like, they've cast a guy who's like, son of, you know, a harsh and uncompromising house lord who's got a hook nose and like sort of like it's just very clear that he's Walder Frey's son.
They could have just put son of guy who murdered all the people.
Is the Septon that Ian McShane played tied to the Freys in the story, or just the Riverlands? That just a geographical connection you're making?
Geographically, okay. Most part. Yeah.
And then if he were to be a Greyjoy, I mean, he would just be with, you know, Yara and...
Baelon is still alive.
Yeah, are they eventually going to sweep up Sansa and Theon from wherever they are?
It's a mystery where Sansa and Theon are going. I hope they go further north and look for Bran and Rickon now that she knows that they're alive. But I hope they don't go to the Iron Islands. I hope Sansa keeps going north.
Well, yeah. Okay.
And so, if it's Randall Tarly, it's mostly going to be Sam and Gilly.
Right.
The Tarly family.
No one wants that. Ian
yeah,
Shane
maybe some
like little, yeah.
Yeah. Gross. Maybe some Tyrells.
All right, good. I want him with Bran and Pod, so that character. I like the non-book reader likes the sound of that. Speaking of warrior guys that are going to be cast, because we're going to be seeing them younger, we're getting some pretty heavy rumors that we're going to be seeing the Tower of Joy flashback, which would clear up Jon Snow's parentage. I feel like we don't really need to recap what the Tower of Joy is for people, but if you want to check out our previous episodes, especially the one that has all our names and says pluses in between them and equals spoilers, it's probably the one to check out. But yeah, they found a they're casting the knight, and they found the tower in Spain.
The location is beautiful. So it's going to be so cool.
And then with a nice little digital matte painting over it, I'm sure it's going to be graphically imposing. But yeah,
with like a foggy overlay, because this is so clearly going to be a Brand vision, I think. And
it'd be such a cool opening scene.
Yeah.
For the whole
yeah.
season.
Like the Cersei stuff. Yeah. To start with Tower of Joy would be so cool. And yeah, what's the big question for me for Tower of Joy? Cause we know that they've cast, I think we're like what, 95% sure they've cast a young Ned Stark. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was called Ned Stark, but they've cast a young man. We know they're casting like three boys. So we know there's going to be some sort of flashback involving Ned probably when he's a good deal younger. But big question for me is who's going to play Ned Stark in the Tower of Joy flashback? There are a couple options. Number one, it's point of view, like camera point of view from Ned. So we never see him. And that would work well if it's a Brand vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we get Sean Bean and we overlay like a Michael Douglas and Ant-Man effect on him. Or number three, we cast some guy who looks like some mixture of Sean Bean now and that kid they've cast for the other flashback.
Well, so we meet Sean Bean in season one, or we meet Ned, I guess, in season one.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, Jon Snow is what, about 14?
Yeah, well, in the show, isn't he like 16?
Yeah, something like that. So, it would have been quite a many years. So the guy that they allegedly cast as a young Ned kind of fits that timeline.
I thought he was a good deal younger. I thought the young Ned is like a kid.
There was one guy that there were two.
Oh, okay.
There was a little kid, and then there was another guy who they speculated was going to be like Ned in his early 20s.
Oh, okay. I missed that one. Great. Mystery solved. I still think point of view Ned would be kind of fun and weird.
It would be cool.
Well, I mean, go ahead, Neil.
Also, I think if I were Sean Bean and I was like not doing anything right now, the best possible thing to do would be to take a vacation to Spain and stay at the same hotel as the Game of Thrones people.
Just came to visit with everyone.
You guys, yeah. I'm 99.99999% sure that Kit Harington is coming back. But if he is just fucking with everyone, like, bravo, you know?
I hope he's getting paid at least.
HBO's like, we're going to pay you to, like, fuck around in Belfast for a couple months.
Because otherwise he's probably missing out on some work that he could be doing elsewhere in the world.
Maybe.
Yeah, he could be a Marvel superhero by now if he was really dead. Yeah, like Gwendolyn Christie's in Star Wars. They didn't even need to kill her off. They just had her watch a tower for a whole season. I think that, like, I would think it'd be really compelling if we start with the Tower of Joy and it's not a point of view flashback. It just is, and then we go into the theme, and then we as an audience finally get to know the truth behind Jon Snow's parentage before book readers do and before the characters do, and everyone just proceeds otherwise. I think that'd be really cool.
How did the Cersei flashback end? Did it end with,
it ended with cutting back to Cersei.
Yeah.
I love the idea from a staging standpoint to have it be like it opens to the Tower of Joy. We see what happens and then it snaps back and you see Bran come out of like warging with the tree.
100%. That's what I want. I want
that's how I would direct it.
Yeah. I want a smash cut to Bran and then opening credits.
Right. Interesting. Why does Bran seeing that? Why is Bran knowing that important?
Just because that's,
I mean, it's
no one else would be flashing back to that. Like, unless they introduce Howland Reed, which at this point is like so far fetched. But if they introduce Howland Reed, he's the only living person who could tell the story of Tower of Joy.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying is, what if all those people have died? That's how history goes. Hey, viewers, you know, blank. Everybody else is going to debate whether Jon Snow is like some sort of demon or Azor Ahai, and we're the ones that get to know he's a Targaryen.
Well, I think just kind of seeing the way they like to play things, they, you know, last year they were very specific about the use of the flashback to really drive character action going forward.
Yeah.
Right.
So I feel like Bran finding that out in a warging tree seance would really drive his story, because think about it, like, what else does Bran have to do except like learn how to like go through the trees and take over more animals? And it's like,
well, just
he has no other purpose.
That's so boring, Dave. I know you would like that, but I think most people would get really bored if it's just Bran like warging into animals and trees.
Well, I mean, he's got to do the whole Karate Kid training sequence before he comes down from the north.
But that's what we watched. That's what we watched Arya do all last season, and it was boring.
This isn't going to be like Luke in the swamp. It's like he's not gonna.
That took a whole movie.
Here's what I'll say. If Bran has that vision, and the Tower of Joy recollection is vague in the book, right? It's vague-ish, right? So if we see this flashback, it could still be kind of vague. And then we could have Bran ask Max von Sydow what he saw. And if Max von Sydow is the one to like elucidate what R plus L equals J and Tower of Joy mean. I mean, that's a great actor to pick to be like, we're going to like lay some really gnarly backstory on you. You gotta be the one to deliver R plus L equals J. God, and Max von Sydow
is
up for it.
No, I want it to HBO just straight up show, not tell, and then get to it. I mean, because
I don't know. They seem to not be that brave anymore.
Oh man, but this is their time.
Now that they're free.
Their freedom adaptation. Time. As far as they know, as far as we know, their freedom time. If they do, you know, if they do have their hands on the majority of the Winds of Winter at this point, then
I guess it's fine if like we cut to the tower. There's like a lady with a lot of blood holding like a bloody baby who's going to have a lot of like dark curly hair. And she's going to say, Ned, promise me, and hand it to him. Like, I guess that's enough to be like, okay, that's Lyanna Stark. But no, viewers are not going to know who Lyanna, like, that it's Lyanna Stark. No matter how hard they hit it, you know, last season. We're going to have some old dude, and Aemon Targaryen's dead. We're going to have some old dude explain who Lyanna Stark is and why she's Jon Snow's mom.
I mean, I think you save that for Littlefinger down the line when it's important. I just don't see the point of telling Bran about it and then having him train for a whole season.
I really hope he trained last season and we missed it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's been gone for a long time.
I really hope we encounter Bran. Yeah. And he's like dressing all weird like Children of the Forest and throwing acorn bombs and like already knows how to do a lot of shit. You know, is this where we should talk about the twin theory that you know?
Yes.
Yes.
What if she hands Ned two babies?
Yeah. okay. So Huffington Post picked this up from Reddit, and it's an old theory. It's not a new theory, but
it's actually one I hadn't heard before, which is impressive because I'm all over that.
Yeah, you are. It's not a super common one, but it's also not like very new. And it's based mostly on the resemblance between the actress who plays Mira Reed, who, you know, is currently with Bran up north, and Kit Harington. And the resemblance is mostly like follicular, so I think we can calm down. But anyway,
curly black hair. Congratulations.
So the theory is that Lyanna Stark in the Tower of Joy had two babies, and Howland Reed took one, and Ned Stark took the other, a la Luke and Leia, and split them up and raised them independently of each other. And dun, 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 what if we have another goddamn secret Targaryen running around the place? A couple reasons why I think this isn't true. Number one, you know, yes, Star Wars did not invent splitting up twins to have them reunited later, but it's so Star Wars. I just don't think that Martin would do something that...
on the nose.
I don't know. I just think it's too Star Wars for me.
He's already got a Yoda.
He's already got twins. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's too much. Secondly, Mira is described in the books as having green eyes, which are a feature. I think Ned has green eyes too, maybe, but like that are like, she looks like a Reed. Like, she's described as looking like her family. So, you know, I think that there's enough book evidence to say this isn't true. But hey, I was the one who like half bought into like Benjen Stark is Daario Naharis. So I'm like no stranger to these like crackpot actors look alike.
Some real tinfoil hats.
I'm not judging anyone for talking about it. I just don't think
it makes that character more fascinating, because otherwise she's sort of a, you know, third wheel in the brand story at this point. But
as someone pointed out, if Mira is Jon Snow's sister, then she's Bran's cousin. And in the books, like, it's more obvious in the books that Bran has a crush on Mira. So, you know, cousins having crushes on cousins is very in line with George R. Martin.
I mean, if it's going to be true, George R. R. Martin, she's going to at some point have sex with both of them.
Yeah.
And then they're all going to get murdered. Well, I mean, one of them's already gotten murdered once.
Yeah, so that won't stick, though.
That's not.
Anyway, that's the twin theory. I mean, do you disagree? Do you agree? How do you feel about it? Dave?
Me? Yeah,
Dave, mm-hmm. I want to know what you have to say about this.
Oh, no, it's probably not true, but it does get me remembering everything I've read about the Man in the Iron Mask, which is like a great little legend of... Was it Louis XIV had an identical twin that he kept locked up, but ended up being this...
Who looked like Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's... Mm-hmm.
My mom loves that movie.
Well, I mean, it's actually a really good, you know, adaptation of the Three Musketeer-like chemistry. But in terms of historically, I think it ended up being like some other criminal. In terms of how twin royalty is handled... in actual times of royalty, for some reason my mind goes there, but I don't think it's gonna happen here. Not because it's too Star Warsy, because if we learned anything from watching The Legend of Korra, it's that Star Wars pops up even like seasons deep into things. It's like all of a sudden she's finding herself in her tree, she's on Dagobah. So I mean, it happens.
Or you just see Star Wars everywhere, Dave.
Star Wars is everywhere. That's actually a huge problem, is because everybody's so familiar with the hero myth, mono myth, that it's like, it's chaining us up. But not important, because Game of Thrones isn't about that. It's about killing off everybody as soon as you...
As far as we know, it's not about that.
Chaining to...
Man, it'd be interesting if it suddenly, you know, came out of the dark side of the hero's journey and became a really positive series. And be like, well, everyone's dead now, and everybody's going to be fine from here on out. Matter of fact, everybody's coming back.
And, Martin did say that it's not going to end in despair.
Right.
It'll end bittersweet, which means someone you love is going to die right at the end, but it's going to be like they die to save all of the world from...
Well, he talks about like...
Jon Snow,
the
Jesus.
The Night's King's going to die.
he talked about the
Jesus thing. I mean, that's still on the table.
Jon Snow, Jesus.
Jon Snow, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I like dying, when he's talking about the scouring of the Shire, because then it's like, you know, someone could get on the Iron Throne and like die of, you know, scurvy or something like ridiculous like that could happen. Not or
die. Gonna... You know what? Someone who sits on the Iron Throne is going to die of tetanus, right?
Right, because of all like, the stupid pointy swords.
Right. Mm-hmm. At the end, this was a 7-novel series about sterilizing metals.
Well, I mean, the Scouring of the Shire, which I love that he talked about that, because that still, like, burns my toast that was left out of the movies. But
well, I mean, it was in a flashback when he touched the ball. Damn it, Pippin.
But the Grey Havens was more like sort of what he was talking about, right? It's like, yeah, Frodo saves everyone, but then he has to like leave and look all like sad and winsome as he does. So yeah, I can see like Jon Snow, let's say Jon Snow and Daenerys fall in love and they save the world, but then in order to save the world, Jon Snow has to become the Night's King and like go off into the frosty wilds and can't be with the Lady Cliffs.
Someone has to lead the Army of the Dead back.
Is that what happens to Orlando Bloom? But then he comes back, so it's fine.
Well, he comes back in this movie, apparently. We don't know. We don't know if he's fine.
It's fine. It's going to be fine. Totally fine.
And then we see him 5 years later in that movie, so he has to survive this new pirate. This is stupid. Stupid pirates. But back in medieval times, we've been seeing some people around Belfast, which is where Game of Thrones is currently filming, not returning to Croatia this season, which I thought was interesting.
Well, I think they're in Spain, too. But yes, Belfast.
Belfast in Spain. Mm-hmm. Belfast for the, I would imagine, the colder climates and Spain for the warmer climates.
They do. Yeah. And all the woodsy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in like the King's Landing interior, there was that walkthrough of that castle in Ireland that is like the under, you know, the where the High Fritz. Sparrow was chilling.
Oh yeah.
With the altar and stuff like that. So like some of that stuff's in Belfast, and also there was, I think, the marine interior throne room is in Belfast.
Nice.
So that's why,
like Amelia Clark.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, we'll see like Peter Dinklage and Natalie Emanuel and then, all the Riverlands, the wall, you know.
There was some, there were some set photos of them dismantling Winterfell, which I choose to believe it's a remodel and not like them taking down Winterfell forever. Cause that would, I'm like, they already burned
it. It's already burned.
It survived. So Winterfell, I believe, is there to stay. Okay. Anyway.
Plus the Boltons aren't going anywhere. Like, we can't even go down that road. The Boltons are going to be fine.
So wait, Dave, so who's hanging out in Belfast? Is that your question?
Well, I mean, that's going to be our next avenue of discussion because there's been a couple of people hanging out in Belfast. Mm-hmm. Osha and Rickon.
Some cool ones.
Good to see Rickon's alive.
And it's good to see that Art Parkinson has made it back, if this is true, because Natalia
Tena. He's like the first kid to like
who's
not
made
be
it all
recast.
The way.
Yeah,
it's him and Bran. He and Isaac Hempstead Wright. But Isaac Hempstead Wright looks like he's got like Benjamin Button syndrome. Like he's going the wrong way. Like he's still, when there's like pictures of him and Christian Nairn. That like he looks just as young as he did before. I haven't seen Art Parkinson in a while, but I imagine he looks a little bit older.
Yeah, well, I saw the photo of him and Natalie Tenya, and he looks pretty unrecognizable. He's got a lot. I mean, they might as well have recast it, is what I'm talking about. He's got a lot of hair too, which is pretty great. And I believe he was in San Andreas, which I didn't see, but he played a character named Ollie in San Andreas.
He played the kid.
A lot of people thought was fun.
So where are these guys gonna have ended up in the two seasons we didn't see them?
Okay, so Rickon and Osha, last time we saw them, they were headed to House Umber, the last hearth. And these are allies. These are, you know, deep dyed in the wool, northerners, allies of the Starks, very loyal.
Was that the one with the little girl queen that wrote the mean letter?
No, she's a... Damn. What's her? She's a Mormont.
Little girl queen.
Isn't she a Mormont?
She's a Mormont.
Mormont.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we see her too. That would be awesome. Because they've cast for several northern lords
just
and ladies, I believe.
Just hardy northern little girl who's just pissed.
And has the thickest accent. And she's just angry and accented and great. But basically, I believe we're going to see Rickon and Aasha, in hiding with House Umber. But I believe, according to casting, they've also cast a Northern Lord that is a little more craven. So it might be that you know, if the Umbers are loyal and hiding Aasha and Rickon, there are other Northern Lords that want to turn them over to the Boltons. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be the tension for them this season. And like I said, I really hope that that's where Sansa and Theon are headed. Yeah, I can't think of anyone else who would interact with that plot, but we need to bring them back into the fold, right?
They could be going to White Harbor, where the Manderleys are, because the Manderleys are still right. Loyal to the Starks. But Last Hearth makes sense. Also, the Umbers are super fun.
Yes.
Yeah. The Umbers are the most, because the Great John, remember the Great John is the one who got his hand bitten off, or his finger bitten off by the direwolf, and then he was like, fuck yeah. You know, King of the North. That guy was awesome for a while. And he's still around, though, right? Like, he still exists.
I think they're going to recast him. I think they're going to, like retcon the Umbers.
He has a son, the Small John.
Right.
I'd like to meet the Small John. He'd be fun. But, yeah, the Umbers are fun. The Manderleys, also quite fun. They bake Freys into pies, which could be interesting. But there's really, like, they've already kind of blown past that in the show, because they've already passed the wedding, but...
But I have some hope that they revisit that, since we know the Freys are going to have a part to play. You know, if the Manderleys end up baking people into pies this season, I would be delighted. Who wouldn't?
Mm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So the Umbers are near the Riverlands?
No, the Umbers are in the north.
Yeah. Okay, so how would them and the Manderleys somehow lead to baking Freys into pies?
Well, I mean, in the book, the Freys are up there for the wedding, for Ramsay's wedding, and like Neil said, that already passed, so it would be hard to make it work. But you know, the show makes shit work sometimes. So
So geographically, Last Hearth is north of Winterfell. It's about 2/3 of the way from Winterfell to the Wall. So if Sansa and Theon headed north, they would hit Last Hearth
before.
And that's also.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's also the closest place, because White Harbor is way south. It's almost Riverlands.
And I mean, and it wouldn't be a bad plan, because Sansa at this point knows that Jon is at the Wall. If she and Theon have jumped off the ramparts of Winterfell and hobbled their ankles, and they got
legs are broken,
and they got to shag ass out of there before Ramsay finds them, if I were Sansa, I'd be like, my bro's at the Wall. Let's go.
Right. Well, north is the only direction for her.
Thinking about the map, aren't Sam and Gilly coming down that direction too?
They're going around. They're going to take a ship.
Yeah.
Through the Shivering Sea. or even the other way, past Bear Island. That would be the only way to meet them, to meet
I mean, we also know, first of all, with Littlefinger's ability.
Magic bird.
And that time that Melisandre took Gendry past King's Landing in order to get to Dragonstone, that the show doesn't entirely care about what makes
Or that time Melisandre rode in an hour from Winterfell to Castle Black.
She blew right past Last Hearth.
Because on the map, it doesn't look close at all. That just seems like a more interesting way to send the Theon and what's her name? Sansa. There we go.
Yeah, reunite some Starks, which hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
To have Theon and Sansa go north, to have them interact with some hardy and hilarious Northerners, for the Northerners to be pissed at Theon, but maybe Sansa protects him. Do you know? There's a lot of good dramatic tension that could happen there.
There's a lot that can be milked from that particular story.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk about who else is hanging out in Belfast?
Totally.
Yeah, well, yes, but I also want to, I guess we could talk about what we all think is going to happen to the Boltons maybe off podcast, because yes, we should talk about who else is hanging around Belfast.
I think the Boltons are going to stay. I bet the Boltons, I bet Ramsay dies of tetanus on the Iron Throne.
That would be bittersweet.
Well, the Boltons, I think, so the only threat, as far as the books are concerned, The only real threat to the Boltons is Stannis. And the show has already shown us that that wasn't a thing. So really, it's at this point, you have who is going to oppose the Boltons in the North. It will be some combination of the Manderleys, the Umbers, the remaining Stark children who aren't really on good footing right now. But the Boltons and Freys are still very strong. And I think the way that they eventually may get taken down is either through kind of this war of intrigue from the other northern houses that still are loyal to the Starks, or if the Brotherhood comes back and they start taking out some Freys and some Boltons, or if the wall comes down and then the ice zombies eat everyone. But I think there's, in the immediate future, the Boltons are in pretty good shape.
So nothing from all of Littlefinger's machinations about maybe setting somebody against them?
That is interesting that you mentioned that, because I think that's another, because last we saw of Littlefinger, he was heading back to the Vale, right? To like get the Knights of the Vale.
But right. I think there have been some set photos that show that he's going back to Winterfell.
Yeah, well, so maybe
the,
like, he's
with the Knights of the, because he pledged the Knights of the Vale to everybody.
All we know, I mean, this is how like creepy the Game of Thrones set stalkers are. All we know is that there's a trailer that I think says Littlefinger, or it either says Littlefinger or it says whatever his name is, which I forgot.
Aiden Gillen.
Yeah, either says Gillen or Littlefinger on it, and it's parked at the Winterfell set.
I wish I was working on the Game of Thrones set right now, because I would just have so much fun.
Sean Bean.
In Sean Bean trailer number 2, and you'll be in Sean Bean trailer number 3. Well, they just all say Sean Bean on them, because fuck them.
Well, no. Wouldn't you do you would do Michelle Fairley, right?
Michelle Fairley. That would be the really,
well, that would be like
really devious one.
You know how they have Lucy and Desi on all the bathrooms for yes. the trailers? They would have, you know, Stoneheart. Ned and Stoneheart.
What I was going to say is my favorite comment over on, by the way, I have like a Watchers on the Wall alert on my phone now. So it's like, It never rests. My phone is dinging all day long with their updates. But
yeah, I know how that goes.
But this is the only thing I put an alert on that, and like Kit Harington. I mean, it's nuts. This is the only time I've
Kit Harington Belfast Google alert.
Yeah.
I mean, who has one of those? That's crazy.
That's a crazy thing to do. But yeah, so when all the whole like Tower of Joy confirmed stuff was happening, Tower of Joy confirmed was like this phrase that kept being hammered over and over again. And so when the Littlefinger post went up, the first comment I think is trailer of joy confirmed. It just killed me. Okay, all right, sorry.
It's really good stuff. I love Game of Thrones fans. Like our listeners are like a huge part of it. Like I just love the people who are like on the spoiler side of things.
I know,
because the humor is so good.
I just want a shirt that says trailer of joy confirmed.
Write that down for next year.
All right. Okay, so who else is in Belfast?
Is the Hound.
Is the Hound. Is Rory McCann. Yeah. So that means the Hound is not dead, which is something that book readers have guessed for a very long time.
I want to try to remember from previous podcasts, Gravedigger with his face covered that Brienne runs across in the Vale. No, in the Riverlands.
Right.
Yeah.
At the Quiet Isle.
Yeah. I don't know
where
that
they
means,
go with
yes.
Septon Maribald.
Oh, shit.
And encounter the elder brother.
Who is another short-lived but significant character that was on the Ian McShane list. Although the elder brother always struck me as like a big bald dude. I don't know.
I feel like they're just going to combine Septon Maribald and elder brother. Like,
right.
Why have two religious-ish characters leading you to the Hound when you could just have one?
Yeah.
And he's played by Ian McShane.
Right. Because
Ian McShane is big enough an actor to play two roles. So it's
or
fine.
Seven.
And so the
here's
way.
Here's the thing.
Oh, okay. Go.
Here's the thing about the Hound.
That's the thing.
Everyone wants this to happen.
Yes.
This could be our dream scenario that dies a horrible death this year. So I want everyone to just keep that next to the part of their heart where this is going.
Part of their stone heart where this is going.
Right, because the great theory, and I love this theory. I hope it comes true. I don't think Game of Thrones is cool enough to make this happen anymore, but it'd be pretty great, is that they realize that it's the Hound, and he is with the Faith, and the Faith names him as champion in Cersei's trial by combat, and that we get the Clegane Bowl.
Which is the Hound versus
the Mountain. Versus the Hound. And that would... I bring this up because my roommate and I were talking about this, because, as you know, we are... Oberyn Martell ists through and through.
Stands, I believe.
Our Wi-Fi network is called Sunspear.
I thought you just referred to your house as Sunspear, right?
Well, yeah, it's the house. And then all of our various pieces of electronics are named after one of the Martells. Anyway. Our Wi-Fi extender is Nymeria.
Yes. It's commitment.
Yeah,
I'll live with you guys. Okay, so
it's pretty rad. my iPhone is the Red Viper. Anyway, it's not relevant. But we were talking about what would be the most satisfying way for the Mountain to die, because he has to like permanently die at some point, because otherwise there's no justice in the world. And I think the Mountain killing him would be great. I mean, the only thing we can think of is like
the Hound. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Hound killing the Mountain would be great. The only other thing we could think of was that somebody reanimates the corpse of Oberyn and he kills him. But, you know, his head's kind of smushed, but like...
Creepy. You know, that would be creepy.
That would
he could be Lord No-Eyes.
Oh, my God.
Lady Stoneheart.
Yes. The best part about the Hound versus the Mountain showdown theory is the name Clegane Bowl. Like, yeah. As you mentioned, like every... This is what I'm saying, guys. If you want
That has to be an enjoyable part, but it can't be the best part.
No, I'm saying if you want your crackpot theory to live beyond you, give it a great name like
your one
Clegane
Reddit
Bowl.
Post. Yeah. Clegane Bowl. R plus L equals J.
Yeah, equals J, exactly. You need to have a catchy name, so, you know... The twin theory is just called the twin theory right now, and that's stupid.
Yeah,
so,
super
you know.
Boring.
That is. That's
and could Secret have, Targaryen.
Could have played to anything.
Secret Targaryen's a good one.
Who's call Secret it like Targaryen? Stark Wars or something like that.
Reaching.
I get it.
Hashtag no, at best.
they're both at that point they would both be Stark children, because they are born of Lyanna Stark. So Stark Wars. You know. Okay.
The horse Targaryens. Okay, I'm done. All right.
But the hound is cool, and it's been my favorite part of all these rumors when they come up on one of the like Watches of the Wall or WinterIsComing.net is that they go as far as to confirm that they don't have anything else going on at the moment. So it's like, well, as far as we can tell, we've done our research, and Rory McCann is not shooting anything else in Belfast. So there you go.
No, he has
no other reason to be there.
Lots of effort goes into proving that
Michelle,
they're not otherwise.
I have heard, I mean, and we'll get to this. I don't know. We can get to this now if we want to. But someone did message me today that the actor who plays Thoros of Myr and Michelle Fairley are both in a play right now. Or different plays or whatever. So, I don't think they're in Belfast.
Cover
for
up.
For one night only.
Well, I mean, that's definitely how I feel about the fact that Carice Van Houten and Kit Harington have been cast in the same movie. That's a cover-up if ever I heard one.
Mm-hmm.
That's shooting in Spain. So
someday we're going to co-write the book on the vast conspiracy that is the off-season
Parade of Lies.
The Parade of Lies. That's the title. We got it. You guys heard it here first. But the other one that is interesting was David Bradley, who played Walder Frey,
right.
who confirmed in an interview earlier in the summer that he is coming back at some point, but we didn't necessarily know that it was going to be this soon, as in this season. But, you know, if they're going back to the Riverlands, which I hope is both a Jaime Lannister thing and a Brienne and Pod thing potentially, then why not bring back a little bit of Frey magic?
Yeah. Mm.
You don't think he's going to try to marry a Bolton or something?
He's already married.
Well, he's... his daughter is Roose's lady now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's already...
That Walda.
He's already out in there. Oh, but he needs another heir to the... Never mind. We'll get...
I would love to see Littlefinger trying to play against Walder Frey. Because I think the trajectory of Littlefinger, whether he's at Winterfell or going back to the Vale, is he's now going to have to go back and try and retake the North, because Cersei just named him Warden of the North. So in order to get that, he's going to have to rally some people together. So he's going to have to try and turn somebody against the Boltons. And I think Walder Frey is a fun one. I really just want to see those two in a scene together.
Yeah.
Walder Frey is a good choice, but there's also, you know, what if Littlefinger is the one who rallies like the Umbers and the Manderleys? That's another possibility.
I would say that it's going to be hard to make me believe he's going to ally himself with Catelyn's killer without at least one really juicy scene in there.
I mean, he spent years allying himself with Robert Baratheon and the Starks and the Lannisters and murdered the king. So, you know, if anybody's going to take out Walder Frey in some kind of, you know, sleight of hand killing way, it's going to be Littlefinger. Which
I feel like it's going to be. I feel like it's going to be Bran. Here's why. I feel like, I mean, you know, I'm writing a post about this, which will probably be up before this podcast drops. But like, Bran seems to be there. Like, we need to take someone out at the end of the season.
She's the roaming justice of the audience.
She's like the sporadic Terminator, just like going around and like, you know, biting hounds and
this guy sucks. Canisters. Kill him.
Yeah.
We'll have Brienne do it.
What's Brienne doing right now? A Star War, please.
Right. Well, and if Brienne and Pod return to the Riverlands, that means that there's a certain lady she might meet.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about that. It's hard for me to reconcile what Brienne's going to do next. Like, she came up to Winterfell and hung out there waiting for Sansa forever, killed Stannis, and is now just going to, like, fuck off and leave Sansa? Like, she just going to, like, I don't understand what is going to take Brienne away from tracking Sansa further north. But all signs seem to point to Brienne going back down to the Riverlands.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they give her plot entirely to Jaime, but that seems unlikely because Jaime's dealing with like his dead daughter in a boat. So,
yeah,
you know, it like doesn't. I don't know how they would get Jaime to the Riverlands, but it's possible that he's going to go there. And eventually, somewhere down the road, Brienne and Jaime will hook up again. If we are going to get Lady Stoneheart, which is seeming more likely for a couple of reasons. Number one, they've cast a bunch of outlaws. There's a band of outlaws that have a couple episodes, and they're described as terrorizing the land they once swore to protect and all that sort of stuff. And it sounds like a slightly bastardized or exaggerated version of what happens to the Brotherhood Without Banners. It's not Doctors Without Borders. It's Brotherhood Without Banners.
But they're similar, except they kill
people. Because in the books, right, Beric gives his life to bring back Catelyn. Catelyn
right,
becomes
so he's
leader.
Gone.
He's gone. Thoros doesn't take over. Thoros is like sort of backs off a little bit, and Catelyn becomes, or Lady Stoneheart becomes, the leader. And instead of doing what they did before, which was, you know, kind of protecting people, the brothers turn into like a vengeance machine for Catelyn.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, terrorizing the land and extorting people for money is not quite what the Brotherhood does in the books, but it's similar enough to what these outlaws are doing that some people think that that's who they're casting for. So let's say they've cast up, you know, the Brotherhood Without Banners, who may or may not have Thoros still in their company. Paul Kay, that's his name, who may or may not have Thoros still in their company, who may or may not have that handsome archer that they had before still in their company, etc. The other evidence that's pointing to the fact that this might be the Brotherhood, and that's why Bran and Pod are heading back to the Riverlands, is that they have cast this Frey son, this Walder Frey son, and there's a Frey son who runs afoul of the Brotherhood. Like, that plot is very much in the book, that there's a Frey son that the Brotherhood, you know, led by Catelyn, dispatch him as part of vengeance for what the Freys did to the Starks. So it seems likely that that plot is happening, but it would be crazy to have that plot happen without Lady Stoneheart. One more piece of evidence about Lady Stoneheart. No, I mean, like, I know we're all tired of believing.
I'm not tired of this. I could do this forever.
But one more piece of evidence. And mostly, I mean, less than zombie Catelyn, I want what happens to Brienne and then the reconciliation of Brienne and Jaime. Like, that's the part I'm more interested in. Zombie Catelyn will just be like, haha, I was right, you motherfuckers who said she was never coming. But like, zombie Catelyn herself is not that interesting to me. But another piece of evidence for zombie Cat is this interview that this effects guy gave to Yahoo TV or something like that, where he talked about a mind-boggling special effect that they were supposed to do in season 4, and then it got pushed to season 5, and then it got pushed again, but they're going to do it this year. So I believe we all remember the Twitter account, Catelyn's Head.
One of our favorites.
I don't believe that Zombie Cat is like a mind-boggling effect. I forget his exact words. I'm sorry if I'm paraphrasing incorrectly, but it does fit the description of something that would have been pushed off of season 4, pushed off of season 5, and into season 6. That could also apply to something up north. Some people think it's ice spiders.
Rickon's big dance sequence.
Rickon's big dance sequence or ice spiders. Ice spiders.
I have the original, the actual quote.
Yeah, give it to me.
He's like, we got to this one point, we read this one gag and thought, oh my God, how the hell are we going to do that? But this is going to be incredible. And that's the one that they got pulled. His name's Barry Goer.
Right.
He's a VFX Emmy winning prosthetics. Oh, and that's the other thing, is he's the prosthetics supervisor.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not like a VFX guy. He's a guy.
He's not an ice spider, guys. He's so a Catelyn's Head guy.
He's a hey, we need this woman to have to walk around, and her like head has to be like only half on because her throat is really deeply slit.
Yeah.
Kind of guy. So that's where it really ties together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So then he says, yeah, oh my God, but this is going to be incredible. And then it got pulled. We didn't do it in season 4. And then lo and behold, in season 5, there it was again, and it's pulled again. But now in season 6, it looks like we're going to do it. Fingers crossed they won't chicken out. It sounds like Lady Stoneheart to me.
That just seems like such a weird thing to be like, maybe this season, meh. Maybe we can hit my.
Well, it's, you know, and it's funny because it's a book 3 thing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's the end of book 3. So, you know, I think one of the things that they've been doing that we saw the most of in season 5 was they've been shuffling things around. Like, they've been like, oh, well, we have this whole Iron Islands thing that we can just move wherever we want it, because it doesn't impact the other stories that we're working with right now. Same thing is with the Riverlands. It's like the Riverlands, they have all these things that happen. Jaime goes there. Brienne and Pod are there. Lady Stoneheart's there. We re-meet the Hound, stuff like that. So they've kind of shuffled it around to say like, well, we can come back to the Freys. You know, we can come back to the Riverlands. And also the Riverlands, now that the Faith has been introduced as a growing power in Westeros, there's this, the Riverlands is kind of the revival area where the Faith is kind of growing from the ground up. Cause it's, I believe that's where the High Sparrow came from when he came to King's Landing. Like, his movement started in that area because that's the area that was most torn up by the War of the Five Kings. So it makes sense that they're going to revisit that now. And it makes sense that they would have thought about it in seasons 4 and seasons 5.
I mean, what's interesting to me is you're right that they're shuffling, but what we're seeing so much of in the casting news for this upcoming season is like book 4 stuff. It's a lot of book 4 stuff with the Greyjoys, with like Sam and Gilly going to Old Town, and with the Riverland stuff. It's like, this is all book 4 stuff getting, you know, they're like, it's like they had to get to, I don't know, whatever, Danny. I mean, Danny being with the Dothraki, like, I don't know, whatever they felt like, the, whatever other masters they felt they had to serve first before they could circle back to this stuff.
That's well, and it's because books 4 and 5 are simultaneous. So
right.
It's just basically like all this stuff was kind of happening at the same time. It's weird that like so far, none of this feels like the only thing that feels like book 6 stuff is what happens to Jon Snow. Like everything else we're seeing is like, oh, well, I know that character. You know,
well, Rickon and Osha, like,
sure, Rickon and Osha, if they come back,
when there's everybody on the other side of the ocean,
right? All of Danny's Dothraki stuff, and you know, they've cast a bunch of Dothraki,
but Tyrion is there with the group in Meereen, and what's her face said that there's going to be lots more crossing over between characters,
right? I think that was just more of like she gets to interact with Tyrion more,
good.
Which obviously,
but like, together, yeah, you know? There's the grayscale is gonna take over the town, and there's gonna be other people sieging it.
It's just fascinating to me how much we still know, even though the show is like, well, we reached the end of the books. It's like, well, no, you didn't.
No, they're
like,
circling back to all this book.
You're circling back to a bunch of stuff.
Plus, we're gonna get to read the next book before the next season comes out.
Yeah, obviously. That's why they're not saying who these characters are.
One of my favorite false rumors that was circulating earlier this week was like taken out of context and mistranslated was like the guy who does the Polish translation for the books. And like someone was at an event where he said something vague that got like mistranslated or misinterpreted as, yeah, I'm getting the new book in December so that I can translate it. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's like, no, it's coming. And then the guy was like, no, you don't understand Polish or whatever his accent was.
Because Polish and Russian are similar.
Yes. From wherever you are from.
I also thought, speaking of people who have talked about season 6 or been on set, we've mentioned Jamie. The fact that Jessica Henwick has said that she's already read scripts for season 6 and that she's really excited about it means that the Sand Snakes are coming back.
Right.
Which is confusing, but also not confusing.
What if they fought the mountain? Would you be okay with that?
Yep, totally cool with that.
That seems if the three of them murdered the mountain,
absolutely.
Take their dresses off in order to do it.
Then I don't care what they're wearing when they do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, me neither.
As long as it's better choreographed, as long as they have more time to shoot it than like an afternoon, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe more nipples on the armor. Maybe it's just because I couldn't see them. Maybe that's why.
Like more pronounced nipples or like more like 6 nipples?
Oh, maybe if like they were replaced with diamonds that were always catching the light.
Or like if they were like a weapon. Like diamond they, like, chest bumped him, stabbed him.
Diamond tipped armor nipples would be a weapon.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
It would be very distracting if you're trying to fight.
Neil was about to tell us something about the Sand Snakes. I'm ready.
Well, okay, so where we left it was Jamie and his crew were off the coast of Dorne when his daughter dies. Like, they weren't even that far.
They were, like still in the harbor, I think.
They could have gotten on the back of the ship and shouted, hey, why'd you guys do this? And the Martells would have heard them. So the question is, does Jaime return to King's Landing with his dead daughter? Do they go back to Dorne? And we get Arya and Martell and all kinds of cool, fun stuff. Or do they, do they just bail on that whole idea? But the Sand Snakes, I don't know.
Do you think Jaime doesn't go back to King's Landing and that's how he ends up in the Riverlands? Because he's like, well, I can't go back with my dead daughter who I was going to rescue.
I don't think he can go back to Cersei.
Yeah. He cannot show up with like the corpse of Marcella.
Because he fucked up.
But he has a Martell child.
Yeah, he does. He has Trystane. That's true.
So you're saying he would just like back into the wilderness like with a knife to his throat? Like I'm just going to go this way. You all leave me alone.
Like Homer Simpson into a hedge or something.
Please don't have them traversing the Riverlands with Trystane in tow.
Oh my God.
So
but what if, I mean, maybe it'll be fun, you know? Like maybe he'll have a.
What should we do with Jamie this season? I don't know. Send him across the countryside with somebody else.
Maybe
just
his
silky
robes will get all tattered and he'll get a scruffy beard and he'll be more than just a haircut. Hey, why isn't Trystane Martell a secret Targaryen twin? Maybe it was triplets because he's got Jon Snow hair too.
He does. I mean, he could be Aegon.
Oh, yeah, Aegon.
Fake Aegon. Fake real Aegon. Fragon.
Anyway, I don't know what they're gonna do with Jaime and the corpse of his daughter.
It doesn't make sense that the Sand Snakes. So like my hope.
Wait, no, I have a really good idea first. Wait, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Then I'm gonna shut up for a while. Jaime goes back to King's Landing, and he knows Cersei will be mad if he brings back the corpse of their incest daughter. So
he puts sunglasses on her.
He weakened at Bernie's.
I felt it coming.
He weakened at Bernie's Marcella at King's Landing all season. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
Yeah, so that's a big question for the Dorne storyline. I guess we'll get more information when they start shooting in Spain, because that's really where all the Dorne stuff is going to be shot, if there's anything. I mean, I guess maybe the Sand Snakes, like, it would make sense that if, like, Doran finds out and he tells the Sand Snakes, like, hey, as punishment, you have to go get my son back. And they go chasing after.
Ugh. You mean Nicola Coster-Waldau and Bronn are going to be stuck with the goddamn Sand Snakes for another season?
Maybe. Maybe they end up in King's Landing. I mean,
what
one of the Sand Snakes.
You deserve that, man.
I don't know.
It was Obar. I always get it wrong which Sand Snake went where, so I'm not going to say which one. But like a Sand Snake.
It's Nymeria.
A Sand Snake can't sit on the Small Council now that they fucking murdered Marcella. Yeah. Sorry. Not even Kevin Lannister would let them sit on the fucking.
Unless Marcella survives.
No, she's dead.
She's dead? Jon Snow dead or like dead?
Oh, no. Like, let's see. Who's a good example? Robb Stark dead.
She's Robb Stark dead. She's Tywin dead.
Yeah, she's Tywin dead.
Well, we saw him with rocks over his eyes.
I think it'll just be fascinating where the Sand Snakes pop up again or if there's Dorne.
That's how Jaime weakened at Bernie's her. He gets those eye rocks. First season. Okay, I'm sorry. I agree with you. Not that Arya Martell is coming, like you still obviously hope she will, but you know, that I would like to see more of gouty wheelchair Prince Doran because
he's really underused.
What a fucking waste. You know?
Yeah, I mean, part of me, it's I'm like 60-40 right now. Like 60% of me wants to see more Dorne, 40% of me hopes it's over. So we'll see. But apparently it's not over, for at least for Jessica Henwick.
Yeah.
Well, by the time they all get back to King's Landing, the Faith is going to be like running the shit. And it doesn't seem like holding a Martell ransom is going to be something the Faith is going to be really into, right? No? Weirdness?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's weird. King's Landing is sort of broken in two. There's like the Lannister brood is kind of sealed up inside the Red Keep, and then the Faith has kind of taken over the rest of the city. So
even if Jaime does come back with a Martell prince, like who, what would he basically be ransoming for? What? Nothing, right?
And I mean, nothing at this point. I mean, it's possible Jaime and Bronn could get back to King's Landing and the Faith could turn them away.
Here's my other desire. I'm sorry. I think I've lost the ability to reasonably talk about this.
wait. Okay, go ahead.
Here's my unreasonable suggestion.
Weekend at Bernie's 2 suggestion.
Weekend at Bernie's 2 is great because there's voodoo. No, because like Bernie dances. It's pretty great. Anyway, no. Yeah. That Bronn and Jaime take their ship that they're on and just keep making loops around the harbor, tossing one piece of Trystane at a time overboard back at Dorne. Here's a finger. Here's a peck. Here's a bum cheek.
I really need that next book to come out soon.
Yeah, that is pretty dark in terms of HBO cutting up butt cheeks.
I guess.
R.I.P. Anyway. Dornish Master Plan.
So are there any other characters that we have had inklings on that we have not yet covered?
Here's what I'll say. If Natalie Emmanuel, a.k.a. Miss Endy, is going to say, hey, we're going to get some more people interacting, and Neil thinks it's just Tyrion, but what if
it's Varys?
But what if it's Martells?
Could be. Martell, there's the Martell's secret plan. The Martells are still very loyal to the Targaryens, I think, deep down, because that's their connection to all of this, was Elia and Rhaegar. So
what if Jessica Henwick gets to, because like there were like three things. God, I always forget what the Sand Snake said. Okay, one Sand Snake went to sit on the Small Council. The other one went after someone, right?
And hold on, I'm going to start looking this up.
You look that up. And then the third one, anyway. I regret going down this path, but let me just say, because it reminds everyone how little I pay attention to what happened to Sand Snake. But I think sending Jessa Henwick or any of them to Essos might not be a bad idea. They look good in like, you know,
those climates,
scantily, scant clothing. So
I guess I would like that. I would also like Arya to meet more people that we know. Rather than just there been Maisie Williams swimming around and stuff. But there's been no set photos that I've found helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Have I missed any really helpful ones?
That was my favorite, where they're like, big Arya set photo. She jumps into some water.
Oh, okay. she treads that water.
She's still in a harbor.
Faye Marseille. Oh, that's two things. Enzo Celenti, I think is his name, who played... Yezin,
the slaver.
He's coming back next season for some reason. That's great.
Probably pissed that
he was great.
Slaves ran away.
I love him. I'm glad he's coming back. And then Faye Marseille, who played the waif, is coming back. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You know, despite whatever weirdness was happening in the faces room, the waif is coming back.
She's still a thing. I found the Sand Snakes stuff.
Okay, what happened?
So at the end of the books, as far as we know, at the end of Dance of Dragons, or somewhere in there, Durand sends Nymeria, who's Jessica Henwick's character, to take the seat on the Small Council.
Right.
She sends Tyeen with her to try and befriend the new High Septon, which that's funny to me.
With her boobs.
Yeah, she just show Jonathan Pryce her boobs, see what happens. Okay. And Obara is sent to kill, is sent with Ser Baelon Swan to kill the Darkstar, who is the guy they frame for hurting Marcella. So two of those actually make sense for stuff that's happened in the show, where it's like Durand realizes what Ilaria did. He has to send two of the Sand Snakes, maybe all three, to King's Landing to try and like figure out how to get Trystane back because he's Aegon Targaryen. So that kind of makes sense. Or maybe he sends Obara to Dany.
Right.
Instead of Martell, who is not in the series.
I'm still, okay. If anything else happens, I'm hoping... Okay.
Oh, here comes the third amazing thing that Joanne is going to say on this podcast. Here we go.
We still need Prince Durand to give his speech. And it's a crying shame that he didn't give it last season. But if he does and he sends Obara, let's say Obara. She's our least favorite, right? I mean, no offense to Keisha Castle Hughes, but she was like the worst one, right?
She's the one who needs the most redeeming.
Well, point. I would say
it's been the least fun.
I would say send her to Meereen, and she gets roasted by a dragon.
Could be fun.
Yeah, because I think the audience would all enjoy one of the Sand Snakes getting roasted by a dragon because they were such a drag last season. So,
and sending the other two to King's Landing is, you know, puts Tyene and Bronn back together. They're fun.
I mean, everyone's favorite couple. Right, right.
Everyone's new favorite power couple.
Yeah.
And I think Jessica Henwick is probably the best actress out of the three. I mean, no offense to Oscar winner Keisha Gessle Hughes, obviously. But Jessica Henwick is the kind of the rising star out of the three, especially because she's probably going to be in some Star Wars movies or whatever. But so I think that it makes sense to give her more of the load there.
Yeah. So yeah, one Sand Snake gets roasted. Tyene gets to go like bone Bronn, and Nymeria actually gets to do some acting, maybe some more acting,
right, to try and retrieve her cousin.
Sounds good.
I like it.
All right.
I mean, I think we worked this out. We broke the story. We just need to let David and Dan know.
It's no Weekend at Bernie's, but it'll do.
George R. R. Martin's deleting the Weekend at Bernie's paragraph right now. He's like, oh God, they saw it coming. I just, no matter what I do.
Now I got to delete this and I got to kill another Stark. Oh, God, I don't have any left.
Oh, no, there are secret Starks everywhere. It's fine.
Secret Starks and secret Targaryens and secret mixed. Who do we think that Charlie and Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia are going to play?
Oh, yeah.
I'm still buying that.
This is our last theory. Okay, so I'm going to say this in case everyone missed this, but Charlie and Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, those guys, Rob McElhenney, is that how you say his last name? Mm-hmm. And Charlie Day are friends with Dan and David. Dan and David did an episode of It's Always Sunny. They joked years ago that they would have to go do an episode of Game of Thrones then. And Dan and David, like earlier this year when they were talking about celebrity cameos, were like, oh, well, you know, Rob and Charlie, definitely. We want to get them. We've always wanted them. We just need to make it work. Then Rob and Charlie were in Belfast. So they could have just been hanging out with their bros, Dan and David, or they could have been filming a quick cameo. I personally want to see them like covered in grime with like leather jerkins and like little silly leather hats on their heads, like way in the background of some scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Yeah, like a nice little Easter egg.
Yeah. They don't need to have any lines. They don't need to sing a song like all the musicians have done. You know, and like it's Mastodon, right? Mastodon was like, you could not even pick them out. You couldn't pick them out of the crowd, like of Hard Home, right? It's not like, you know, with some of the other musical cameos, it's like, oh, there's Sigur Rós, like, you know, whatever. Right. But Mastodon. Yeah, but Mastodon was. Or no, the Purple Wedding. But
The Purple Wedding
was.
It was the guy from Cold. The guys from Coldplay were in the Red Wedding,
right? And then the guy from, I don't think it was the Hold Steady, but it was another band.
Oh, the National.
No, I don't think the National was in.
The National did the theme. That did the song. They did the
right. And the Hold Steady did Bear and the Maiden Fair, but there was one. It's Snow Patrol. One of the guys from Snow Patrol. Okay. Was in the Bear and the Maiden Fair episode, I believe. But anyway, what's the point? The point is Charlie and Mac, Rob and Charlie.
The point is that we are now Charlie and Mac truthers.
Yes.
To go along with all of our other trutherism.
I will be looking in the background of every scene for them until I see them. I mean, actually, point of fact, they should be random Freys. Don't you think that they could be Freys?
Mm-hmm. They could be Freys.
Yes.
They could be Freys.
Or they could be like, they could just be like bodies swinging. Like in the Riverlands.
Yeah,
Where they're like walking down the road and they're like, oh my God, look at all these dead bodies that have been hung by this mysterious woman who we keep hearing about.
two are actors they had to insure for the harnesses that made them look like they were hanging.
So, you know, that'll be fun. I am excited.
Two Freys baked into pies is going to be my vote somehow if we're going to call the things.
I'm also excited about all the new locations that we're going to see that they've confirmed. We're going back to Braavos, obviously, but like Old Town, I'm very interested in seeing how Old Town is. and then Hornhill, which is the ancestral land of Samwell Tarly. So those on top of the Tower of Joy, which I think is going to be very, very...
And the Trailer of Joy.
The Trailer of Joy.
Which you'll never see, but is there.
Right. It was right confirmed. Behind, off screen.
Confirmed. Trailer of Joy. Go ahead.
Oh boy, those are. I'm really excited to see kind of some new. You know, the fact that they're not shooting in Croatia, a lot of people are speculating that it's just means that we're going to get a lot of inside shots, internal shots of King's Landing. Like all the King's Landing stuff's probably just going to happen indoors.
Do you think that's because the Church of Croatia was such an asshole? Too.
Maybe.
By the way, it's not the Church of Croatia. I do know that. Please
that church
stop writing.
Croatia.
Stop writing your letters. It's not Church of England, Church of Croatia.
I also think that city is such a tourist spot now that that's where a lot of the leaks were coming from. Like it was probably becoming very hard for them to film there because that Dubrovnik area is just such a. I think it's already like a vacation city in Europe. Like it's a vacation destination. Then on top of that, now it's like the Game of Thrones thing. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense.
Yeah, we know someone who honeymooned there. So
yeah, I know a couple of people who have gone there on vacation. So it makes sense that they're now moving stuff to other areas. And probably Spain probably gave them a good tax break or something. So
yeah, all about those tax breaks. And at this point, if they can't digitally recreate all of King's Landing, what have they been doing for six seasons? Save your assets, everybody.
They don't have enough flyover shots of King's Landing at this point.
Yeah. I've already seen Azeroth from that angle, and that movie hasn't come out for another year. Sorry, Warcraft. Different group of people that I usually talk to that about. Anyway, is there anything that we missed out on? I think we did pretty good. I mean, we probably are going to need to do another one of these when the book comes out.
When the book comes out.
Yeah. You got anybody else playing the Telltale game? Just me?
I haven't played the last one. I played, maybe I missed two. I think I missed two.
Someone did send me Game of Thrones Risk in the mail, though, so.
Ooh.
What?
Yeah.
There's a Game of Thrones Risk?
You have friends that would sit down and commit to that with you?
No.
Oh.
I will say this.
Should we have a meetup and play Game of Thrones Risk?
We could play, I'm pretty sure there's an online version of Risk with custom maps that has like a Westeros one.
That sounds so boring. I think we should all meet at Sunspear, BYOB, and play Risk.
So here's something that actually is potentially supporting a lot of theories. There is this game that I play. It's called Game of Thrones Ascent.
Mm-hmm.
It's
by the same people who are doing Star Trek Timelines.
Yeah, exactly. It's by Disruptor Beam. Mm-hmm. And so I've been playing it for a couple of years now, and it's basically a game. It's like it's one of those like, I guess it's an RPG. But you play along with the story of Game of Thrones, and they actually update it in real time. So like an episode comes out, and then the next day you get to play through that story as your character. You're like a lower lord in Westeros. And in the off season, they have these kind of tangential stories. And this is the first time that they're having these tangential stories that are because it's the game is based on the show, not the books. But now there's book stuff in there. So like there is so my character in this game went through this like fever dream about the Tower of Joy, basically.
Wow.
About Lyanna Stark and like there's all this like backstory to it, and I was like, wait, this looks really familiar. And it was just a couple of weeks ago. And so this game I continue to play because I'm fascinated with how they kind of weave it into the story, and it's always been accurate to the show. Like it's an HBO licensed thing. So the fact that the Tower of Joy popped up in that game, I was like, oh, okay, I know where this is going, you know?
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
Keep you guys in the loop on that. Cause that game is, it's problematic. Because I play it a lot.
Oh, that kind of problematic. It's going to be like, oh no, let's not talk about that.
Does the Game of Thrones game have a blank problem? Okay, sorry.
The Telltale game is also interesting because it has to do with other northern families that are underneath the Boltons right now. Mm-hmm. You play as one of them, and things do not go well. But I'm wondering if we're going to spend a lot of time with northern families this season, if that's going to work out.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're, you know, all this stuff that, especially the games that are the officially licensed games that have to like create content in the off season. You know, they have to run all that stuff through HBO and they get the stories in advance. It's very intricate and it's very in depth.
And Peter Dinklage does good voice acting for a video game in this.
Oh, sick burn. Boom. Sick burn.
Yeah, that's right. That's timely. I do video game things.
All right. Is that it for us, guys?
I think that's for now. That's been the storm of spoilers. Let's tell people where they could continue to find our work in the off season. Let's start with Neil.
You can read me over at filmschoolrejects.com. I'm going to be writing some Game of Thrones stuff in the next couple weeks and then, you know, other stuff. Tweeting on the Twitter at rejects. And also, I'm going to try and do a better job of keeping the at storm of spoilers, our official show account, little more up to date. I've been slacking this month, so we'll try and keep those articles as we all write them, keep them flowing to you.
Boom. Joanna?
You can find me over on vanityfair.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Wrote This. I did want to say before we go, thank you to everyone who sent us photos of you guys in your shirts. You look so good.
That was awesome.
Every time someone sends me a shirt photo, I get so excited. So send us more shirt photos. We know you ordered a lot of them. We're really happy they're out there in the world. We're really happy that you make people fake, like, angry about spoilers because it's not a spoiler and they're
it's
silly.
It's so much fun. Yeah. My roommate and I are going to wear ours together because every time he wears his, he gets a bunch of people like, hey, man, this is a spoiler. So I figured strength in numbers.
Yeah. Twinsies. Did you guys get the same color or different colors?
Yeah, both black.
Both black. Nice.
To match our hearts after Oberyn died.
Yeah.
Me. No, I'm the other one.
Yeah, Dave.
My name's Dave Gonzalez. I spell my first name D-A-7-E. That's my Twitter handle. I write at geek.com, machito-review.com, and forbes.com. You can find all my podcasts at fightinginthewarroom.com, where I do one on comics and one on general pop culture. And, you guys have been great with everything. You're one of my favorite fandoms, and you are Fighting in the War Room's most massive fandom. So,
ooh, yeah.
We're gonna be spending more time with you in the off-season, probably, in the next year? Next year? No, I'm not gonna close out the entire 2015.
Yeah, no.
Spoilers, definitely.
More stuff's gonna happen soon.
So check out all our back episodes and continually check for new episodes either at fightinginthewarroom.com/gotspoilers or at Storm of Spoilers on Twitter.